Good morning to all. Good Erev Shabbos. Yasher Koyach to my dear friend Rabbi Reuven Jacob. Gives me an opportunity every so often to come to Me'am Loez to share Divrei Torah. And I always feel it's a privilege to come back. And that's what it is for me. It's coming back because I had the zechus for many, many years to give shiurim every week on the parsha. And it all began in Me'am Loez. It was in that small caravan, Baruch Hashem. You've grown, Mitzvah Hashem, you should continue to grow, Mechoel El Choel. So we find ourselves now, having begun the second week of the Bein HaMetzorim, the three-week period between Shiva Osir B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And undoubtedly this should be the focus of our minds, this should be the focus of our Avodas Hashem at the moment. And especially because it's not necessarily an easy avoider. It's an avoider that sometimes one struggles with to connect. One hears about, perhaps in previous generations, how they seem to live the Beis HaMikdash, live the Churban in a much more real way. There is a paragraph in the Sefer, Leiv Eliyahu. Leiv Eliyahu was written by Rav Eliel Apian, the great Mashkiach Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, who passed away not hundreds of years ago, in the last half century. And he writes there that I once, as a young child, entered a Beis HaMedrash, and I saw it was packed with people during the Bein HaMetzorim in the three-week period, and they were saying Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos, which we might think it's something Gedol Yisrael or Kabbalists get involved with. And he writes, do you know who I saw in this shul? He said, I saw sandlerim, shoemakers, chayotim, tailors, nagorim, and carpenters. So he said, I didn't see necessarily the Gedol HaDor. I saw, as it were, Pshuteyam, simple people. There's no such thing as a simple Jew, but regular, normal Jews were involved in Tikkun Chatzos. And he concludes and he writes there, Kahayoyim, but nowadays, Ein Royim Zeh Bechlal. You don't really see this. You don't see this. We don't necessarily see shuls packed saying Tikkun Chatzos, never mind on a regular day or a regular week, but even during Bein HaMetzorim. There's a Rav in Yerushalayim whom I have a close acquaintance with, and his name is Rav Avraham Moshe Halperin. You might know him. He has a famous institution, Machon Halperin, anything to do with electronic items, Lahalacha. He is in charge. He is the Rav of that institution. And he once told us as a group of Rabbonim, he said he remembers, and again, we're not talking about hundreds of years ago, talking about maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago. He said he used to daven in the shul, in the shtiblach, in Mea Sha'orim, in Zichron Moshe Shtiblach. And those of you who don't know the shtiblach in Mea Sha'orim, it attracts anybody and everybody, and everyone in between. And he said he remembers the people used to daven there on a regular basis, as he put it, again, were not knowledgeable people, very ignorant. He said he remembers some of them were so ignorant that on a regular day they used to come for Shacharis, and when they finished saying Shema, as they were waiting for the Chazan, they used to start talking and schmoozing to their neighbors. They were not knowledgeable, they weren't aware, they're not allowed to talk after saying Baruch Hu, and certainly not after Kriya Shema. That was the caliber, that was the level of the people in that shul. And yet he said, but during the 9 days, who ever saw a smile in Me'er She'orim Shtiblach? That's what he said. Whoever saw a smile. So even people who perhaps not on the highest stature, at least in Torah knowledge, but they seemed able to connect to the Avodah of the Churban, the Avodah of Avelos Beis HaMikdosh. And for us, sometimes it's a difficult Avodah, and it basically, on occasion, really just sums itself up as we just try and keep the halachas. We ask all our shailas. Every Rav will tell you a list of questions that he's already received this year. can I go to my guitar chug, and is it okay to go to my swimming lessons, and what about vocalic music without instruments in the background, and can I make a barbecue in the 9 days, and that becomes the avoid of the 9 days. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to lament, and he used to say, every year I receive these various questions during the 9 days and the 3 weeks, but he said, when somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, is sitting shiva for a parent, then they don't call me up with these types of shaylas. Somebody sitting shiva on a father, on a mother, Olam HaSholim, they don't call their rav to say, can I go this swimming course and this guitar lesson and can I do barbecues, because it's very real. It's very real, and you feel the pain and you feel the loss, and we're not looking to cut corners. So we're trying, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, to make sure that this avodah, the avodah of Bein HaMetzorim, which is not for Gedolei Yisrael only, it's for every member of Klal Yisrael, man, woman and child, we're trying to make it real. Trying to make it something that we can connect to. We're trying to make it something that we can be uplifted from, not just to go through it and survive and then plan the summer vacation. There are, of course, so many different aspects to this avodah, to the avelos, but we'd like to discuss, Be'ezus Hashem, just for a few moments, one particular nekuda, what it is that we are being misabel, what are we mourning over? Because maybe that sounds strange to say, but many people perhaps are not quite sure why we're going through this avelos in the first place. Some might tell you, well, we know that in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, there were nisim, there were miracles in the Beis Hamikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't have those miracles nowadays. So if only Mashiach would come, we'd have all the miracles back. And that's why I'm mourning the Beis Hamikdash. Do you know what that's like? I once heard the following very moving, very powerful moshe. A certain individual, Reb Ruvain, has one daughter, his beloved daughter, and Baruch Hashem, she becomes engaged to get married. His only child, his pride, and he plans, and he prepares, and he looks forward, and he's excited to the great day, the wedding, the chasana of his only daughter. And this promises to be a great event to be shared with family and with friends. Tragedy hits the family, because exactly 1 week before the chasana, the father of the kala, his own father, meaning the grandfather of the kala, all of a sudden passes away. A healthy man. Unexpected. Total shock to the family. Who would have believed it? And all of a sudden there's a change in focus. Preparing for a wedding is all put on hold. Father of the kala is now sitting shiva. Rachmana litzlan. The last day of the shiva, the Yom HaShvi'i, is actually the morning of the chuppah. And when he finishes the shiva, Reuven somehow has to dust himself down. He has to somehow muster up the strength, the emotional strength, to be able to dance at his daughter's wedding. But who would have believed that he's not going to have his own father there at the chasana? But he has no choice, and very moving, emotional scene at the chuppah, very mixed emotions, the simcha on the one hand of the chasana, but the gaping void and the pain and the shock that the grandfather of the kala is not there. He was a week ago, he was alive and well and healthy. Reuven's close friend Shimon sees his yedid Reuven, father of the kala, torn apart, simcha and avelos at the same time, and he says to his dear friend, or he says, Reuven, you know, I realize this must be so difficult for you. such a mixed occasion, the simcha on the one hand, but who would have thought that your father wouldn't be here? Just a week ago we were so excited, we were so looking forward to dancing with your father, see his granddaughter under the chuppah. Who would have thought that your father's not here? And Reuven says to him, thank you Shimon, I appreciate it, your words touch me. It's a big chizuk that you understand what I'm going through at the moment. And I appreciate your words of chizuk. And then Shimon continues and he says to Reuven, yes, he says, who would believe it that your father's not here? He says, you know, if only your father would be here, I'm sure he would have written you a big check to pay for the hall. And Reuven says to Shimon, you're trying to be mechazek me? That's a chizuk? Am I so self-centered that that's what I'm missing my father about? Because he would have signed a check, he would have paid for the wedding? That's what I'm missing my father for? That's not called divrei chizuk. I miss my father because I want my father to be here. I was looking forward to giving him the nachas to see the next generation get married. That's why I'm missing my father. It's all about me because he would have signed a check, paid for the wedding. So too, the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdosh in Eretz Yisrael is not all about, well, if only Mashiach would be here, we'd have a lot of miracles and life would be easier. And surely all our Parnassa problems would be a thing of the past and there'd be no more health issues. That's why we want Mashiach, that he can sign the check and pay for the wedding hall. I remember I asked one of my little boys a few years ago, just before Tisha B'Av, I said to him, tell me, are you looking forward for Mashiach to come? Are you waiting for Mashiach to come? He says to me, absolutely. I said to him, why? He was 7 years old. I said, why are you so excited for Mashiach to come? So he thinks about it and says, because if Mashiach will come, I'm sure I will have a lot of avadim. I have a lot of slaves, a lot of servants. Slaves, avadim. I said to him, why do you need avadim? So he says, because then they'll buy things for me, and they'll cook my food, and they'll clean all my clothes. I said to him, but your mother does that already. He looks at me and says, yeah, you're right. I don't need Mashiach after all. So it's cute for a 7-year-old, but none of us are 7 years old. Maybe that's the way we're also looking at things. Why do we want Mashiach back? Why do we want the Beis HaMikdosh back? Why do we want Eretz Yisrael back? Because then we'll have miracles, then life will be easy, and then they'll have avadim. That's what we want Mashiach for. That's what we want the Beis HaMikdosh for, that somebody should sign a check on the wedding hall. We, all of us, are Zoicha Baruch Hashem, not to be taken for granted, to live here, Arzeinu HaKadosha on Eretz Yisrael. We have to realize that yes, it's a tremendous zechus to live in Eretz Yisrael. If we're speaking in English this morning, then presumably all of us, we're not born here. We've arrived here. We've decided, Kodesh Baruch Hu has been mezakas, has allowed us to come to Eretz Yisrael. This was the dream of many Gedali Yisrael and they were not Zoicha. The Chofetz Chaim never made it to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Goyen never made it to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, this beautiful poetry, all his life he wrote about his dream to come to Eretz Yisrael. He came to Eretz Yisrael and on his first day he was killed by an Arab. So it's a zechus, it's a bracha. And yet we have to understand and realize that we haven't arrived home. This is not what Eretz Yisrael should look like. There is a very famous line, a spine-chilling line, that the Meshech Chochma, Reb Meir Simcha HaKoyen Midvinsk, wrote in the 1920s in his Sefer Meshech Chochma al HaTorah. It's to be found in Parshas b'chukosei. And he writes there, and it sounds like mamash, divrei nevuah, prophecy. He writes this 20 years before the Holocaust. And he literally describes and predicts Jewish history. And it's a very, very lengthy piece. And in the middle, he warns Klal Yisrael, you're too comfortable in Golos. And he demonstrates how there's been historic cycles when Klal Yisrael get too comfortable and it's too good to be true, and it really ends up being too good to be true. And he has this line where he writes, the tragedy is that Yachshoiv, some people think, ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. People in the 1920s probably had no idea what he meant. Germany, cutting edge of culture and knowledge, so decent and polite, our wonderful German hosts, life couldn't be better. The problem is, ki Yachshoiv ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. Ma chaser lanu? We're not missing anything. Couldn't be better. Berlin, a wonderful place to bring up a Jewish family. That's what people thought until 20 years later, the lights were turned out in Europe. Berlin hi Yerushalayim, that warning from Rabban Shel Yisrael, the Meshech Chochma, Rameir Simcha HaKoyen, don't think that Berlin hi Yerushalayim could really be translated also as don't think that London is Yerushalayim and New York is Yerushalayim. But tragically, don't think either that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. Because it's not. You come to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, it doesn't necessarily feel or seem Ir HaKodesh. How much Chilul Shabbos, how much Pritzus, how many other Averas are being carried out every single day in Yerushalayim HaKodesh? Artzeinu HaKadosho, Eretz Yisrael, where unfortunately most of the country are not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. We Baruch Hashem, Azoche, here in Bet Shemesh, to live in a frum neighborhood, and sometimes we forget. Wherever you are in Eretz Yisrael, you're probably 5 minutes away from irreligious neighborhoods. And from neighborhoods that are anti-Torah and anti-Mitzvahs, and look what we're experiencing at the moment. There's never been a greater attack against Torah and Loimdei Torah, against Bochrim in Yeshiva, and Avreichem in Koilel, and people who just want to sit and learn for an hour a day or 2 hours a day, and they're becoming the subject of ridicule, and a joke, and persecution. This is Eretz Yisrael. This is Yerushalayim. So one aspect of the Churban and Avelos is to appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is, because what we're seeing now is not what Eretz Yisrael should be. This is not Eretz Yisrael that the Rishonim and the Gedolim aspired to. This is not what they described, this is not what they dreamed of, to come to a country where every single day there's another law being passed against Loimdei Torah. This is not the country that they dreamed about, where there are laws being passed to allow every single Aveira under the sun, Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Domim and Chilul Shabbos and v'chulei v'chulei. So we're mourning during these days Eretz Yisrael. Yes, even us who are zoicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe precisely us who are in Eretz Yisrael, maybe we feel it more. We see that Eretz Yisrael is not really Eretz Yisrael. It's a privilege, it's a zechus gadol to be here, undoubtedly. And this is really described in a pasuk in this week's parasha. Because in Parsha's Maseh, it's a double parasha this week, in Parsha's Maseh it says as follows, V'hoirashtem es ha'oretz, and you will conquer and inherit the land, V'yishavtem bo, and you will settle the land. Ki lochem nosati, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I've given the land to you, es ha'oretz, lo resh es oisa. Now, how would you translate that pasuk? Is that pasuk a prediction, a prophecy, or is it an instruction? This is what you must do. Again, the pasuk says, "V'hoirashtem es ha'aretz." You will inherit the land. You will means this is what will happen, or you will means this is what you should do. Says the Ramban on that pasuk, Al Daiti, in my opinion, says the Ramban, Zu mitzvas ase. It's a mitzvah. It's not just a prediction. This is what will happen one day. It's an instruction. It's a mitzvah. Not you will, you must. You must inherit and settle in the land. What exactly is the mitzvah? So listen very carefully to the words of the Ramban. Yitzave oisam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing them, Klal Yisrael, sheyeshvu ba'aretz, that they should settle in the land. The Yerushu Oysa inherit it. Why? Ki hu nosna lohem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to them. And then he adds four words. Having said that it's a mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah, it's not just a prophecy. Not just you will, but rather you should inherit the land and settle the land because it's yours. Then he adds four words: Veloy yim'asu, and they must not despise or repulse b'nachalas Hashem. They must not repulse. They mustn't despise Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Ramban add those words? We all appreciate it. It's not a nice thing. The Meraglim did that. The Meraglim spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. But why is that part of the instruction of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Why does the Ramban say there's a mitzvah to inherit and settle in Eretz Yisrael and not to despise the land? Why is not despising the land part and parcel of the mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael? So I'd like to share with you, suggest a possible explanation of what I believe that the Ramban is teaching us, which is a very, very big yesoid, very relevant to all of us in our day-to-day lives, but especially now during the Bein HaMetzarim. We know, as mentioned, to live in Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous zechus. Eretz Yisrael is not like other lands in any which way, not begashmias and not beruchnis. It's extra special, undoubtedly. The Rishonim teach us, and really this is based on a pasuk in the Torah, that there's a special hashkocha in Eretz Yisrael. A special divine providence, and really it's a pasuk in the Chumash. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us about Eretz Yisrael? It's the land where Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo. The eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are constantly surveilling Eretz Yisrael. Meireishis Hashanah Ad Achris Shana, from the beginning to the end of the year, which means at all times. It's a special Hashkacha Protis in Eretz Yisrael that doesn't exist in other lands. So much so that the Gemara tells us an incredible statement. That if you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's as if you don't have a God. Lashon HaGemara, what does that mean? Can't be literal. Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, who live in America, or Canada, or England, or Italy, or South Africa, what does that mean? They don't have a God? So the Rishonim explain what that means is, of course they have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They don't have that direct connection that we have here in Eretz Yisrael. There's a special Hashkacha here in Eretz Yisrael. The Rishonim teach us that tfilos that are davened in Eretz Yisrael are more powerful, are more potent than those that are davened in Chutz La'aretz. It could be the same Shemona Esra, special Siyata Dishmaya with davening in this country. We know from Chazal, we know this halacha, wherever you are in the world, when you daven, you face Eretz Yisrael. You face Yerushalayim, you face the Beis HaMikdash. All tefillahs, wherever you are, all directed to Eretz Yisrael. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're not directing them anywhere. You're in Eretz Yisrael. This is the palace of the king. There's another Chazal that says, the Torah in Eretz Yisrael is different Torah, not Chas V'Shalom, different halachas, different limud Torah. person learns Torah in Eretz Yisrael, different Siyata Dishmaya. So here comes the $64 million question. And this is a frightening question. And this question is asked by the Mir Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. If it's true, and obviously it is because Chazal have taught us so, that Eretz Yisrael has so many brochas and sgulois and zuchuyois and siyata dishmaya, and one's davening is different, and Ashkocha Protis is different, and Limud Torah is different, and life is different, so why don't we always feel that? Scary question. Do we necessarily feel, wow, now that I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I just feel my whole davening is different? When I used to be back in Europe, oh, then it was a big struggle davening, but now my davening just flows and it's easy. We all feel that. How come we don't always feel it? Oh, Limud Torah over here is a special skula, a special siyata dishmaya. I feel it's different. My davening, my learning, my ashkoch, we feel that. But Chazal guaranteed, Chazal are very accurate. If they've told us that tefillahs in Eretz Yisrael are different, and Limud Torah and Ashkocha Protis, then they mean it, very literally. So how come, this is the big frightening question, how come we don't always feel it? Ask Reb Chaim Shmulevitz one more question. And then Rabbi Yisai, we're going to reach the Yesoid, the big Yesoid that I'd like to share with you this morning. If we were to be asked the question, there were two severe Averas in the Midbar. What were they? The Meraglim and the Egel. Now, if we were to be asked the question of those two Averas, they're both terrible Averas, undoubtedly, but which one is more severe, which would we say? I think we would all agree, well, obviously, the Chet HaEgel, Zaveda Zara, rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz an unbelievable question. If that's the case, the Chet HaEgel is more severe, Aveda Zara. Aveda Zara is one of the Gimel Averis. How come Moshe Rabbeinu davened? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Solachti kidvarecho, forgive him. Chita Meraglim, they were not forgiven. Anybody who was there alive at the time died, never came to Eretz Yisrael. How can that be? How can that be that the Chita Meraglim, which is surely as severe as it is, but definitely less severe than the Chita Egel? And the Chita Egel, they were forgiven. Salachti kidvarecho. And yet, when it comes to the Meraglim, no mercy. You spoke badly against Eretz Yisrael, you can't come into Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Unbelievable question. These are the two big questions that the Mir Rosh Hashiva Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, posed. Number one, why is it that we don't necessarily feel the tremendous brochas and zechuyos and skulois of living in Eretz Yisrael? And number two, why were Klal Yisrael forgiven for the Egel but not for the Meraglim? So listen now to his Yesod. Unbelievable Yesod, which needs a lot of thinking about, always, but especially now in the Bein HaMetzarim. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was not Zoicha to enter Eretz Yisrael. Not alive or dead. Neither did he physically enter Eretz Yisrael, nor were his bones brought into Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal tell us it's a Medrash. That Moshe Rabbeinu complained, or at least asked the question. Moshe Rabbeinu, how come it's a medrash in Devarim Rabbo? And he asked, how come the bones of Yosef were brought into Eretz Yisrael? That's Moshe Yosef. Why were my bones not brought into Eretz Yisrael? Answered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when Yosef heard from Eshes Potiphar, how did she describe him? Hevilanu ish ivri. that there's Jews here. He didn't deny it. And he said, Gonoiv gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. Yes, I've been taken from the land of Ivrim. He didn't deny. However, how was Moshe Rabbeinu described? What did the Bnei Yisrael call him? Ish Mitzri. They didn't call him Ish Ivri. What did they say about him? The Ish Mitzri saved us. Woman, Ish Mitzri? Ish Mitzri means I don't belong to Eretz Yisrael. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? No reaction. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't respond to a comment like that, that's called, in the words of Chazal, Einoi Hoide Ba'aretzoi. You're not admitting, as it were, that you are Shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. You are not described like Yosef as an Ish Ivri. Ivri means a Jew, but not an Egyptian. So he was Zoicha to come to Eretz Yisrael. But you heard those words, Ish Mitzri, and you should have responded and you should have said, I'm not an Ish Mitzri. Maybe I live there, but that's not what I am. I belong to Eretz Yisrael. And because you didn't respond, you can't come into Eretz Yisrael. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, this was not a punishment. This is a reality. In order to be Zoicha to Eretz Yisrael, you have to value Eretz Yisrael. And if you're described as an Ish Mitzri and you're content with that, you're content to be described as somebody who really is associated and connected and belongs not to Eretz Yisrael, so you didn't value Eretz Yisrael. If you don't value Eretz Yisrael, you don't belong there. It's not a punishment, that is the reality. And he says, the eagle was a terrible avera, but they were chayzer b'tshuva. Hayom Hashem solachti kidvarecha. But the meraglim, it's true. It was not a more severe avera. But if you talk badly about Eretz Yisrael, you don't value Eretz Yisrael, you're incompatible. You can't come in. Not as a punishment. You can't come in. We asked, which avera was more chomor? Surely the chet ha'egel. Indeed it was. But they were chayzer b'tshuva. But when you talk badly, you despise Eretz Yisrael, then you're not shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. You're incompatible. You don't belong. That's why they couldn't come in. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in conclusion, Umikan limud avureinu. This is a great lesson for us. We asked a question before. Why is it we're zeicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't always feel that zechus? He says, you know why? It's true, there's tremendous brochas, endless brochas that you could be zeicha in Eretz Yisrael. But in his words, yesh tenai. There's one condition attached. You know what that is? You've got to be lahakir b'ma'aloso u'b'chashivusa. You have to value the milas and the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. If you value Eretz Yisrael, then and only then can you be zeicha to all the brachas of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Meraglim spoke against Eretz Yisrael. They didn't value Eretz Yisrael. Sorry, that's not a good fit. Do you want to hear an unbelievable moshel? Because this Yesod of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I found that the Dubna Magid, hundreds of years beforehand, said exactly the same. But we all know the Mahalach of the Dubna Magid. He always has the most wonderful Masholim. Listen to how the Dubna Magid demonstrates this, because he asks the same question and gives the same answer. Why, when Klal Yisrael spoke badly against Eretz Yisrael, could they not come into Eretz Yisrael? They could be Chayzer B'tshuva. So listen to his Moshel. He says, a wealthy individual has a daughter and he's looking for a shidduch for his daughter. Baruch Hashem, he's well endowed and he can afford, Be'ezus Hashem, to be zeicha a son-in-law, Talmud Chacham, and to support them for many, many years. He's financially able to do this. So the shadchan approaches him and says, listen, I have a wonderful shidduch for your daughter. Okay, let's hear. This bocha in the yeshiva, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and a big Yiras Shomayim, and a Masmid, and Midois, Toivois, this is the bocha, destined for greatness. Oh, sounds good. He does his inquiries, and indeed he finds out this is something outstandingly special. The only problem is, says the Shadchan, that this boy is from a family who are not wealthy. And therefore they would expect you to take the financial toll. But you can do it. And what is the chus? To have a son-in-law, Talmud Chacham, your daughter, bring up a family of Torah. So this Gvir said, I'm on, I'm willing. I'll pay for an apartment for this young couple. And I'll pay for the entire wedding. I'll pay for everything. But he said one thing. I don't want to just be used. I've got one request. One request. It is, after all, customary that the chosn buys some jewelry for the kala. That's the one thing that I'm requesting that the boy's side pay for. Everything else is on me. The Shadchan says, okay, I'll see what I can do. He goes to the other side, to the boy's side, and says, listen, I have a wonderful girl for your son. Not only that, the girl's father is very wealthy, and he's willing to pay for everything. The wedding, the apartment, the clothes, whatever you name it, he'll pay for it. One thing he's requested, and that is that you pay for the jewelry. That's all he's requesting. One thing, is it too much to ask? So the father of the chosn says, I appreciate your offer, and it sounds a wonderful shidduch, but I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't have money. I have literally no money. I can't afford the jewelry. Okay, Shatkin goes back to the other side, and he says to the father of the girl, listen, the father of the boy appreciates your offer, and he's very moved, but he can't pay for the jewelry. Says the father of the girl, no jewelry, no shidduch. The Shadchan says, what a shame. What a tremendous shame to call off this shidduch. Well, for you, it's a few thousand shekel. And you can have a son-in-law, Talmud Chach. No jewelry, no shidduch. I'm not prepared just to be steamrolled and used. I have to pay for everything. The Shadchan goes back to the other side, father of the boy, and says, listen, it's a chaval. This is such a great shidduch in the making. Surely you can somehow scramble together some funding for the I can't. He goes back to the father of the girl. He says he can't. He absolutely can't. Shidduch off. Finished. Those are my conditions. He hasn't complied. No shidduch. Shidduch's off. After a while, the Shadchan thinks to himself, you know, maybe I can speak to this wealthy individual and explain to him his mistake. He goes back to him and says, you know, I've been thinking about this. What a shame. You're going to call off this shidduch. You've called off the shidduch, what? Because of a ring and a bracelet and earrings. You can afford it. You can afford it. Look what you're getting. A son-in-law, Talmud Chacham. Says, you know, let me think about this. Thinks about it, comes back to the Shadchan and says, you know something? You're right. This is a stupid mistake. You're going to call off a shidduch like this, one in a billion. What, because it's a bit of jewelry? Tell the other side, I've thought about it again, I've had second thoughts, the shidduch is back on. The Shadchan goes to the father of the boy, so I have good news for you, the shidduch is back on. So what do you mean it's back on? Yeah, he said, second thoughts, he's willing to pay for the jewelry after all. Says the father of the boy, the shidduch is not back on, we don't want to go into the shidduch. So the Shadchan, all my hard work. You're working on this for ages. He's willing to pay for everything now. Are you so insulted? You're so upset that he didn't want to pay for it in the beginning. You can't get over that? He's changed his mind. You can't forgive him? Said the father of the boy, it's nothing to do with forgiving. But when he, first time round, said he's going to call off the shidduch, why? Because he doesn't want to pay $1,000 for some jewelry, I realize that he doesn't value Torah like our family values Torah. If you really value Torah, you don't give up a shidduch like this. Therefore, I feel that the two families, and therefore the boy and the girl, are just incompatible. It's not chas v'shalom that I don't forgive and I'm insulted. Nothing to do with that. But if he was prepared to call off a shidduch for a bit of jewelry, even though he knew that my son is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he clearly doesn't have that value for Torah. It's incompatible. The shidduch is not a good shidduch. Said the Dubna Magid, that's what happened with the Meraglim. It wasn't a punishment, but they didn't value Eretz Yisrael. They're incompatible. That's not a good shidduch. In order to be zeicha to Eretz Yisrael and everything that Eretz Yisrael has to offer, you have to value Eretz Yisrael. And I think Rabbeisai, that's what the Ramban meant. The Ramban we quoted before. What did the Ramban say? That when the Torah says you will inherit the land and you will settle it, what did the Ramban say? It's a mitzvah. You must inherit the land. Remember those four words? V'lo yim'asu b'nachalas Hashem. Don't despise Eretz Yisrael. And we asked, what's that got to do with the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is everything. Because if you despise, you don't value Eretz Yisrael, well then you can't have it. If there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says that you must inhabit and live in Eretz Yisrael, then that's conditional. Part and parcel of that instruction is appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Value Eretz Yisrael. It's not just, it's a side issue. Don't talk badly about Eretz Yisrael. It's not a side issue, it's a central issue. Part and parcel, an indispensable chelek of this mitzvah is to appreciate Eretz Yisrael. Because it's only if indeed you appreciate, you value Eretz Yisrael, then that's a good shidduch, then you can be zeicha to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, as mentioned, we, Baruch Hashem, who are zeicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, if we're wondering to ourselves sometimes, why is it that we're not necessarily feeling all the zchuyos and all the sgulos that Eretz Yisrael has to offer, now we know the answer. That's what Reb Chaim Shulevitz says, because in order really, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you have to connect Eretz Yisrael, you have to value Eretz Yisrael. And so too with us, if we appreciate, what does Eretz Yisrael really have to offer? It's true. We said before that Eretz Yisrael is not the Eretz Yisrael that we are hoped for. And that thousands of Yidden and many generations have aspired and davened for. But it's Eretz Yisrael. Look at the unbelievable Hashkocha Protis that we have seen only this year in Eretz Yisrael. The bombs, the missiles, and whilst Rachmana Litzlan, they were terrible price to pay, and Korbonis, but compared to what it could have been. So of course, there are those who don't share Torah Hashkofas, who will have all different scientific and military, political and diplomatic ways of explaining it. Well, it's all about the army. Well, it's all about the Iron Dome. Do you know that the Iron Dome, scientists who fashioned the Iron Dome, were sent to Ukraine? They have the Iron Dome there as well. It was exported from Eretz Yisrael to the Ukraine. It's working there at 70% success rate. In Eretz Yisrael, at about 98% success rate. Same science. And have struggled to understand it. They were called back to the Ukraine. Can you please set up and check this machinery? Why is it malfunctioning? They checked it. It's absolutely not malfunctioning. So why is it only working at 70% success? The answer is because not Eretz Yisrael. So the Iron Dome saved us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. The Shliach was the Iron Dome. So we value. We recognize. We should value. We should recognize that this is a fulfillment of the Pasuk, the Einei Hashem Aleikecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, surveillance of this country every given moment. For every miracle that we heard, what about the 20 that we didn't hear? Do you know, I have an uncle in Bnei Brak. In the midst of the war, a few weeks ago, I called him up one Friday morning. I wanted to ask him, a shaila is a very big Pasuk. His wife, my aunt, answers the phone. She says to me, before you even speak to your uncle, she says, I just have to tell you the latest miracle that happened here in Bnei Brak. Fresh, breaking news, just happened now in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak, as we know, is on the front line, right next to Tel Aviv. missiles rain there yom v'layla. She said a missile was intercepted, but shrapnel fell, large pieces of shrapnel, in Bnei Brak, exactly in between two buildings. Miraculous, no building was hit. She said two things, however, were hit. Number one, there was a car parked in between the two buildings, direct hit, and a car went up in flames. Now, you know Bnei Brak, very densely packed. Fire breaks out, Pekuach Nefesh, the whole building can go up. But she said one other thing was hit at the same time. A couple of meters away from the car, there was a hydrant, a fire pump, that was also hit. That exploded, and the water sprayed all over the car, and the fire was put out. Nes Golui. Did anybody here hear about this story? We didn't know about it. I would never have known about it. I happened to speak to my aunt that morning, so she told me. Probably didn't make any headline in any newspaper. Nisim Goluyim, Yoyim Valayla, that we saw here.
Excuse me, Rob. Can I ask about where did you get it from?
From my aunt. Her name is Mrs. Zanger. Robertson Zanger.
She lives in Bnei Brak?
Yes. So on the one hand, as mentioned before, Eretz Yisrael that we live in is, after all, not the Eretz Yisrael that we're aspiring to. It's not the Eretz Yisrael that we're davening for, that we will be zeicha when Mashiach comes, but it's Eretz Yisrael nonetheless, and we have to value it. We have to appreciate that we're zeicha to a hashkoch over here that's unparalleled, unmatched, b'chol ha'olam kulei. Many asked, when the Simchas Torah war broke out, what happened? What happened? Terrible disaster and tragedy. You know what happened? Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel removed his Hashkocha for a few moments. That's what happened. Meaning, what happened? Nothing. That's the natural state of affairs in Eretz Yisrael. This would happen every day. They're baying for our blood. Goyim surrounding us on all sides. But Baruch Hashem, there's a Hashkocha. The Eine Hashem Alekecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu, every so often, in a very painful moment, showed us what happens when there's no Hashkocha. So during these weeks of the Bein HaMetzarim, this is a time for us to reflect, remember this Ramban in this week's parasha. The part of living in Eretz Yisrael is V'lo Yimasu, not to despise Eretz Yisrael. It's true, there's difficulties here. Eretz Yisrael is niknis bi yisurim, it's true. But to be machshiv, to value, what is the chus to live in Eretz Yisrael? Appreciate the hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we see in an open way. And not like we said before, that why are we hoping for Mashiach to come? Why are we hoping for Beis HaMikdash? And why are we hoping for Eretz Yisrael? Because then we'll have miracles. And then we'll have parnasa. And then we'll have lots of slaves, like my 7-year-old son says. Let me just finish off reading one line of the Rambam. Because it's the very last Rambam in all of Yad Chazaka. The 14th and final volume in Hilchas Melachim, where he talks about Bias Mashiach. And he says, do you know why the Chachomim and the Nevi'im always Nis'avu, Nis'avu means they aspired, they had a taiva, they desired to come to Eretz Yisrael. What was the big dream? What was the big aspiration? Loi. Not in order to be dominant over the world. V'loi kedei lechoil, v'lishtois, v'lismayach. No. Elo. Kedei sheyu pnuyin b'toiro. So that they should be able to be more available to learn Torah. The Rambam, one line prior to that, how does he describe what will happen when Mashiach comes? Anybody remember the description? Oh, there'll be no wars, there'll be no jealousy, there'll be ma'adanim, delight, everywhere you look around. And what's the Rambam saying? That's true, and it's true, and it's true, and it's true. Not that's not the reason why we're aspiring for looking forward to Kav Mashiach. Rather, kedei shu pnuyin b'toira b'chachmasa. Closer connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be able to learn more Torah. To be able to mekayim mitzvahs properly. say, yes, undoubtedly we'll be zeichet to nisim. Undoubtedly there'll be less wars, and we can appreciate what a bracha that is. And undoubtedly there'll be less sickness, and undoubtedly there'll be less tzoris. But that's not what we're waiting for. We're not just waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come and sign the check for the wedding hall. We're waiting for Him to give us this opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a much deeper way. And then the real Eretz Yisrael would have been restored. Not the Eretz Yisrael that we have now. It's still, as mentioned, an unbelievable zechus to be here. Look at the nisim, look at the hashkocha, look at the ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays. And yet we feel that so much is lacking. We must remember the Ramban that we quoted before, that part of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is v'lo yimasu, not to despise, to criticize, but to value and appreciate what a tremendous zechus it is to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because if we do that, then Be'ezras Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say the time has come. And the real Eretz Yisrael, the true Eretz Yisrael, will be restored with all the miracles, with the shalom, with the parnasa, but above all, with the opportunity to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitz Hashem, we should be zeicher to the fulfillment of this. B'bias, Mashiach Tzidkenu, may it be b'mheira, b'yomenu, amen.